what you see as the current global advocacy messages around HIV prevention within the current changing funding priorities and the emerging new HIV prevention tools, but also if you could also help us give this a feminist and a woman's perspective. Thank you. Welcome, Yvette.
Thank you so much, Lillian, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, ICW and the DAY organization, for inviting me to speak on the role of feminism in HIV prevention and does it have a role in the conversation today. And I think it's important for us to recognize that feminism does play a crucial role in HIV prevention, particularly in addressing the disproportionate impact of the epidemic on women and girls. Gender inequality, including factors of gender-based violence, unequal power dynamics, and limited access to resources, significantly increases the vulnerability to HIV. Feminist approaches emphasizes empowering women, promoting gender equality, and addressing the root causes of gender inequality to effectively prevent HIV. And by addressing gender inequality, feminism recognizes that gender inequality is a major driver of the HIV epidemic. By challenging harmful gender norms and promoting women's rights and advocating for equal access to resources and opportunities, feminism helps reduce women's vulnerability to HIV. It's combating the gender-based violence, highlighting the link between and understanding the link between gender-based violence and HIV transmission. A feminist intervention aims to prevent and address violence against women, which can include sexual violence, and that increases the risk of HIV infections. As we listen to Leonard speak about why the ring was conceptualized the way it is, and it also gives us an understanding why feminist organizations, women's organizations, women and young girls across the world advocate for the ring, because it is promoting body autonomy. Feminism also promotes sexual and reproductive health rights. And as we can see today, those rights of women are really under attack. And our perspectives, feminist perspectives, emphasizes the importance of women's autonomy over our bodies and our right to make informed decisions about sexual and reproductive health. And it includes access to comprehensive sexuality education, HIV testing and counseling, and the prevention methods such as condoms, PrEP, PEP, and many other methods that are available. Empowering women and girls is important for us to focus on women to negotiate safer sex practices, access HIV prevention services without fear or favor, and also to participate in decision-making processes that affects their lives. As we know, as advocates, we always talk about the engagement of men in the work that we do. This includes supporting women's leadership in HIV prevention initiatives and ensuring meaningful participation in policy development. Stigma and discrimination works. Feminism works to dismantle stigma and discrimination associated with HIV, which can also affect women and girls. By challenging negative attitudes and promoting social inclusion, feminism creates a more supportive environment for women living with HIV, and also for us to understand integrating gender into HIV programs. That we can see there's always a push for us to include men and young boys when we come to HIV prevention. There is no women's movements are collaborating, but I think we can do a better work across the borders to ensure that there is equity and equality in prevention choices. Also, I'd like to say there's no shortage of women's movements addressing HIV prevention, GBV, and stigma. What is important for us is for us to reach out to each other and start doing the work together. And I think there are examples of that. The African Women's Accountability Board, by working together, we are reaching women across seven countries and have leadership in those roles. And with HIV, with leadership being part of that, There are intersectional approaches to addressing GBV and structural barriers that recognize that multiple forms of discrimination and advantage intersect to create a unique experience of violence and barriers to support. This means acknowledging that a person's race, class, sexual orientation, disability, and other social identities can significantly impact how they experience violence and their ability to access help. We need to acknowledge that there are overlapping inequalities. It's crucial for us to understand that individuals may experience multiple forms of discrimination simultaneously based on their race, such as being a woman of color with disability, which can also increase our vulnerability to violence and the limit to access and resources. We need to continue to challenge harmful gender norms. Intersectional approaches address the root causes of GBV by challenging harmful gender norms and power imbalances that perpetuates violence in our communities, including those related to masculinity, femininity, and traditional roles. We need to continue to promote gender transformative programs that involves not only addressing and immediate needs of survivors, but also working to transform social structures and systems that contributes to GBV. Engaging boys and men is also essential in efforts to promote gender equality and challenge harmful masculinities that contribute to violence. We can have, there are some examples of intersectional approaches in practice, the training of judges and legal professionals, working with community leaders, developing targeted intervention, creating specific programs and resources for groups at risk, like women of GBV, like women, like the LGBTI community. I would like to end there and thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you so much, Yvette, for sharing with us the importance of having a feminist lens in the way that we're able to address HIV generally. We can't do it without feminist approaches, and we need to have feminism on board in order for us to address the needs of women beyond just HIV, but more comprehensively, like you have mentioned, issues of gender-based violence, among others. Now, from global advocacy, we are moving to hearing community voices. And this time around, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome a young woman and get to hear from her perspective. This is no other but Beryl Abade, a PrEP champion and youth advocate from Kenya. Beryl, if you can hear me, kindly unmute. Yes. Thank you so much for joining us, Beryl. And I have two questions for you. First, maybe